If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. That's my man, Johnny Crocker. And what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Isaiah Hubbard, back again with another episode of Positivity Spartans. It's actually episode 47, the big 47. We're getting up there trying to get to 50. How's everybody doing? I am joined today by my co-host, as always, Marcellus Majestic James, and my boy, Eric Lane. Fellas, how y'all doing today? Been a minute.
What's up, bro? Doing well, man. It has been a while since all three of us have been on.
Right, man, right. You know what I mean? We got our lives, but anytime we get together, it's magical, so I love it. Marcellus, man, Mr. Adventure. How's everything going?
I'm good. I'm tired from yesterday, but...
Man, I bet, man. Up in the mountains and whatnot, man. Yep. Hey, you won't have to put me on. We're going to have to hike some trails when you get out here to Texas.
Easily.
I'm with it. Today, we are joined by two special guests, two defense attorneys. First, we have Deontay Salvi. Deontay, how's everything going, bro? How you doing?
Everything's going well. Glad to be up and with you guys on a Sunday, man.
Yes, sir. It is a lovely Sunday morning. I'm up early today. Usually, I don't wake up till about 11, so, man, but, you know what I mean, it's the only time we can get it. I'm getting it. And then we are also joined today by Marcus Esther. Marcus, how you doing today, brother?
Man, good morning. Good morning. Doing well and blessed. Coming to you live from my church's parking lot. In the car, so we doing well.
Bringing them blessings all the way from Houston, Texas. I love it.
Yeah.
As I said, they are both defense attorneys with very long resumes. Deontay, man, you wanna go ahead and just start off, let the people know who you're talking to?
My name is Deontay Salvi, serving as an assistant public defender in Baltimore County, District 8. Originally went to HBCU, UMES, went to law school at UMass in Massachusetts up there in Patriots country. Got to see the Eagles beat them, so that was great.
Hey.
And I just happy to be here, man. I've done a lot of little mini stuff in between, but those are the big ones.
I dig it, man. I dig it. So you're a big Eagles fan, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm from Philly.
Oh, okay. So yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm from a small city, a small town of Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Lebanon. I wouldn't even know which direction to drive in.
It's like 40 minutes from Hershey.
yeah, we out there by Hershey. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We not known for much.
that's close, though. Like, less than an hour, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, you know, we got a lot of Philly fans, you know what I mean, Eagle fans. I'm a Sixer fan, personally.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? My man Joel Embiid, he that MVP. But
not gonna happen.
We're gonna talk offline about that one. We also have Marcus Esther, man. Marcus, go ahead, spit your bio for us, man. Y'all gotta check out his website, man. His website is dope. Estherlaw.com. Go ahead, check that out, because man, it's a dope website. I'm still on it. But Marcus, go ahead, drop your bio, man.
Thank you, man. My name is Marcus Esther. I'm from a small town called Lamarck, Texas, 45 minutes outside of Houston, and did my undergrad at Texas Southern University, did my law school at Thurgood Marshall School of Law. As soon as I graduated and passed the bar, I opened up my own practice, the Law Office of Marcus Esther, PLLC. I do criminal defense work mainly, some civil cases. I'm also on court appointments in Galveston County, Chambers County, ad litem appointments in Harris County as well. So I do work all over. And I pretty much travel around Texas representing people, representing the accused, because just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty. So, right. You know, I got your back.
Right. I'm glad you let off with that, man, because that was going to be one of my questions for the both of y'all. As defense attorneys, I mean, you guys go in there and you basically get you're supposed to get the truth, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so you guys get the defense side of the story. Like, so has there ever been a situation where, like, you clearly felt that they were innocent, but there was a guilty verdict?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times, at least in my position, so I represent a lot of indigent clients, and there's a lot of situations that I run into where people are so unwilling to, like, take the risk of trial. They might have a lot of things leaning in their favor. And I tell them, if you take this to trial, either with a bench or at a jury trial level, you would have a decent shot. But a lot of people in my world don't even want to do that. They just want to be able to just handle something quickly. The idea of trial kind of intimidates them. So I've had clients who ask me, oh, are they offering jail? No? Okay, I'll just take the deal. And they'll plead guilty for things that are easily questionable or easily arguable just so that they can get the probation and get it out of the way, because at least that's where I experience it the most.
Yeah. Is that the same for you, Marcus?
I agree. In fact, a few weeks ago, I had a guy. He was a young Hispanic male. He was charged with resisting and evading arrest. And I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, we can take this to trial. I mean, the facts are looking pretty good. Like, there's no video of you running or, you know, and then you had actual white people chasing you who weren't cops. And so, I mean, you weren't running from the cops. And then he said, well, look, man, I'm a young minority. I'm in a mainly white county. I don't want to take this to trial because they're going to find me guilty, and I don't want to do that. He said, if it's probation, I can take that. Or if it's time served, I can roll with that. So some people, yeah, and so that's I've definitely experienced that.
That's sad, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we need defense attorneys to somewhat essentially attempt to, I guess you can say, like, put a dent into the system, because I believe it's extremely difficult to change the system as a whole, but at minimum, you know, you can find a way to navigate through the system to an extent to represent your clients and get the result that they want, but just hearing stories such as that, it just makes you think that, hey, history repeats itself, and the legal system truly hasn't changed from the 60s, 70s, all the way up now to the 21st century. Like, we've been hearing stories about this for our Black and minorities, you know, for ages, man.
Right. For as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
So has everybody in the conversation watched the film 13?
13? I have not yet. I have not seen 13.
Yeah, so, I can't say that I have either.
So one of the facts they dropped, they said that 97% of cases don't go to trial. Do you feel people are being punished by going to trial the way our system's set up?
I wouldn't say punished. I mean, you know, you get a chance to share your side, or you force the prosecution to show their hand, pretty much. And the whole thing about trial is to have the state prove the charges against you. And so I wouldn't say you're punished going to trial, but just know that depending on your jury, if you decide to go to a jury trial, and if you're in a county that, you know, doesn't look like you, it may not end up in how you want it to end up. And I've seen that before, where you have an all-white jury and, you know, they have to decide the fate of a Black man.
Right.
So it could come out pretty skewed. But I would, if the facts are looking in your favor, I encourage you to go to trial. But, of course, it comes down to, do you want to take that chance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like a risk, definitely. Hey, can one of you guys explain the process, how it works from the time you're arrested to when you go to trial, to when a verdict gets reached, et cetera? Can you explain that for the people?
Sure. So, at least from the beginning, basically the police respond to a call. They go, they investigate. There's a primary officer, and then he basically has backup officers. They're trying to figure out what happened. I'll do a typical assault case. A couple gets into an argument. They say that one hit the other. It was mutual. They take pictures of any injuries. Whoever they feel like is chargeable at that point gets charged with the crime. They arrest them, take them back to the station, book them. Now, in the state of Maryland, they have to see a commissioner within 24 hours. And the commissioner decides whatever their immediate bail status is. So there are certain offenses that a commissioner won't feel comfortable releasing a person, like violent assaults, possession with intent, but they basically do like a precursory bail review. And then the very next day, or what's supposed to be the very next day, unless it's a weekend, you go before a judge, you see that judge, and then they're determining if you should have bail set. All they're looking at is, are you dangerous or are you a potential runner? And that's what they're going to use to determine whether you should or should not be released until your trial date. If you're released, then you get to stay out. If you're held, then you just basically held until your trial date. Trial date comes up. You have the option to accept the state's offer. You could do a bench trial right there. Or in Maryland, if you have a crime that's more than 90 days, you're entitled to have a jury trial. And all jury trials are done in the circuit court, so that'll just have to be bumped up. And you'll have the same three options up there. Plea, jury trial, or you can do a bench trial up there in front of circuit court judges.
That's a hell of a process.
That's expensive.
Yeah. Does Texas defer, or is Texas kind of the same way, Marcus?
Texas is very similar. Again, it's the same thing. You start off with that call. officers come out. Before they can arrest someone, though, here in Texas, they usually call a DA, the intake division of the county's DA's office. And then the DA will decide to accept charges. Once they accept charges, the officer then place the guy in handcuffs and throw him in the back of the car and bring him downtown. Mm. Then, depending on if it's a misdemeanor charge or a felony charge, you have that time period to see a magistrate where the magistrate will assess the bond amount. And either you can get a PR bond, meaning you can just bond out there, or if they, you know, set a bond amount, you got to pay a certain percentage to get out. And then you have to wait. Then you wait for that. And this is where things kind of get a little sketchy, because if you're in jail, you know, some people say, man, I'm just ready to get out. Give me the first thing I can take or whatever. And so really you're waiting in jail to either bond out, or you're waiting for the case to be completed. And the case can either be completed either through a dismissal, a plea, a bench trial, or a jury trial. And so if you can't afford an attorney, state of Texas will give you the opportunity to have one appointed to represent you, so you'll have somebody appointed. Mm-hmm. Or if you can hire somebody, then you'll have to pay for an attorney. And the sad part about that is, you know, it's income-based, so they'll look at how much money you bring in. But what people fail to realize, if you get arrested, you're not working because I'm in jail. So right. I don't have any money coming in. And so they'll say, well, how much money did you make before you were going in? Okay, well, you don't qualify to have a court-appointed attorney, so you're going to have to pay for one. It's like, well, how do you arrange that if I'm in jail and I don't have any family? But just as was stated earlier, you know, you wait to have that jury trial, the bench trial, or a plea. And then after that, you know, depending on the outcome, you can appeal that outcome, and then the case will continue on its way up to the Court of Appeals, then either to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals or into federal court, and then it'll keep going up from there until, you know, you reach that final outcome.
Yeah. Sheesh. Yeah.
But it's crazy. Like, people can wait. If you're in a big city, you can wait 1 to 3 years before you even go through your trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1 to 3 years?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow.
Especially if you're charged with a felony, because what you also have to keep in mind is that sometimes the police departments, they don't have everything together to send over to the state. And then the defense attorneys, we're you know, send a request to the prosecutor, say, hey, give us all the evidence. And then once you actually get the evidence, you may want to do your own independent testing. So you got to hire experts, hire an investigator, hire some kind of mitigation specialist. And that can take a while. That can definitely take a while to get the ball rolling until you get to trial, because you want to make sure you're prepared. So it takes a while to get to that point.
Yeah. In preparation as defense attorneys, do you guys have a lot of contact with the prosecution lawyer, correct, Deontay?
Yeah, for sure. Basically, before any, so we're scheduled in dockets, and I identify all of my clients from my docket. And then I immediately email the prosecutor, say, hey, I need discovery, but also what their offers are. Because I like to talk to my clients when I have everything, when I've looked over all the body camera and things like that. Because you can't really get anything done if you're like, at least as a public defender, we don't have the luxury of the time to like have multiple meetings with the client. So you want to be fully prepared when you first talk to them. So I generally... talk to the prosecutors out here in Baltimore County. Our prosecutors are very cordial, very easy to get along with. It's not an incredibly contentious relationship as it is in certain places.
Okay. Yeah. It's we had a prosecution attorney on here, and they said the same thing. So it's refreshing to see that, you know, it's mutual respect for both sides.
Yeah. It's one of those things where they'll carry it how you carry it. There are definitely some people who, when they were in law school, they couldn't understand how these people could be prosecutors and could never be friends with a person like this. And they will literally, you know, keep a very cordial, but not really like trying to get to know them on a deeper level. If that's how you want to carry it, that's exactly, carry it that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, at the end of the day, you do have to be able to separate like the personal beliefs and things like that from work, I feel like. So I just never chose to be that contentious with them.
No, I feel that.
That's good. Fair and impartial.
Right.
So that kind of leads me to my next question. How has COVID impacted the job? actually during COVID, Marcus went viral over a tweet on Twitter about chicken sandwiches. It was somebody fighting over chicken sandwich, and he was like, you know, hey, if you guys need representation, hit me up. he was like, I can defend you and make sure you get your chicken as well.
Smart man, that's free marketing.
Yeah, man. So, how has COVID impacted you guys, you know, on a professional level?
Man, COVID has really changed a lot. Let me just start off here in Houston, for example. When COVID first hit, they canceled all the court settings. So they said, hey, do not show up to court. We're going to reset everybody's case. You don't do any jail visits, because in Harris County, COVID cases spiked in the jail. So they had stopped all visitation. And you had some inmates who actually died from COVID in the jail. I had a client, his cellmate died from COVID. And then, you know, that kind of had a lot of other repercussions from that. And so the downside, jury trials were also halted. So if you had some people who had jury trials, that was canceled. I was in the middle of a continuous sexual assault case, and we had just picked a jury, and that was at the end of February. And then we were set to start trial in March. And then, you know, we got that alert to saying, hey, don't do anything. We don't know what's going on. And so they canceled that. And so we had to put that on hold. It has hindered me from meeting with my clients, because I like doing face-to-face meetings. I hate over the phone. I hate sending text messages, because sometimes the message doesn't be received well. And so it allowed me to adapt, because now, you know, we got Zoom, we got video conferencing. And so we're coming back. I'm back in the office. Some counties, they don't want you to come into court. You have to Zoom in. But it was a lot of changes, but it also strengthened me as well. So it showed me what I needed to work on to build up my firm and to make sure we're prepared for anything.
Yeah, for us, the pandemic is crazy. For me, but the pandemic is the only reality I know, if that makes sense. Like, I started on the day that Maryland got put in the state of emergency. So they shut down jury trials, shut down jail visits, shut down in-person hearings for, I think it was, the only thing they were doing was very quick bail reviews for about 2 months. And so just basically we had to wait for certain courts to open back up. And then when they were opening up, they were only doing, you know, the most serious crimes like DUIs, domestic assaults, and things that are in people who are incarcerated. So they advanced a bunch of cases that were set out for months. And then next thing you know, they're having them next week. But it's just been weird, honestly. Like, I haven't met, like, I'd say a good 40% of my coworkers, just because we weren't able to come into the office. And you see them on the Zoom screen. But the Zoom fatigue was real in the beginning of all this. So,
yeah, sit behind that screen all day.
Yeah.
So, is there like, a specific like person that you wouldn't represent, like say they were malicious in intent and they decide to, they want you to represent them. Is there a time where you guys will say, well, morally, I don't want to represent this person, or how does that work for the both of you?
I'm gonna let Dio take that before I hop on. You want to lead up with that? Cause I got a funny story.
I think Dio may be having connection problems.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll go ahead. I was, you know, I got asked that question before I graduated law school. My last year of law school in the criminal clinic, our professor had asked everyone in that clinic. And if you think about how to get away with murder, that's exactly what it was like. We had a professor, and it was like 10 of us chosen to be in this clinic to represent people. And she said, you know, is there any case you would never take morally? And I'm like, man, nah, you know, if you're accused, you're accused. And so that's what I stuck by. And I represent anyone that's accused of an offense. Even if you tell me you did it, for example, there was a guy coming, he was charged with murder. He was like, yeah, I killed that girl. I killed her. And I'm like, all right, well, let's see, you know, can the state prove the case against you? But there's one guy that was charged with possession and promoting of child pornography. And, you know, I don't want to go into the details and all of that, but when I had that case, you had to go to the DA's office to look at the evidence because, of course, by law, they have to turn over everything and they can't send you that stuff because it's because of the nature of it. And so when I went into the office to watch that stuff, you know, it was just like, man, I, you know, it's some things that kind of be like, bruh,
come on.
Right. Yeah. It kind of struck a nerve. Now, of course, you know, you still do what you can to represent the guy. And the thing was, he wasn't in the videos. He just had it on his computer. Yeah. But it gets to you because it's like, man, I hope these kids are okay. I hope, you know, nothing bad is going on. But there's some things that you will see as a defense attorney that kind of gets to you. And it kind of shakes you up a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know, if you can still put up the fight, put up the fight. But, yeah, I wouldn't say there's nobody I won't represent, but there are some cases that kind of get to you. Yeah, once you look at everything. And I don't mind looking at a dead – and the crazy thing, I can look at a dead body, you know, but when I look at something like that, you know, it feels different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 10 times worse, man, any time it comes to children. Yeah. So I can imagine. That's super tough. I mean, kudos to you, man, because – Yeah, I mean that's one of those things. I don't know if I could do it personally, but man, yeah. Dio, I don't know if you heard the same question for you. Is there any type of case where like morally you feel like you couldn't represent the person?
I would say I agree with Marcus on this. There are definitely cases that you might find disturbing at first exposure. I also handled a child pornography case and a couple of sexual assault cases. And those are the ones that really, like, I'd say those are worse than any murder, worse than any theft, anything like that, because of all the same reasons that Marcus elaborated on. And just those are the cases where you really want to outside of the fact that, of course, you're supposed to know, think your client is innocent, but you really hope and believe and pray that that is also the case. Now, yeah. I'm not going to say that I would just back out. I mean, we do have 18 other attorneys who could handle something like that, but I wouldn't just back out. But there are definitely some clients, specifically with the sexual assault or another thing, if I see something like some type of racist remark or something, or something that I feel like is prejudicing in the fact pattern. I mean, I've had clients where they caused a ruckus in a market, and then at the end of it, the security officer is trying to get them to leave, and they just start calling them the N-word multiple times. Right. And it's like, you know, oh man, this person, wait till they find out that I'm their lawyer. Right. I wonder how that's going to be. But yeah, just little things like that. I would still go on and represent them, of course, zealously. I have a stronger stomach for that type of stuff than most, but yeah. It definitely talks to you. And the important thing I feel like as a defense attorney is also to try not to let those things desensitize you either. Like, you don't want to normalize it. Right. It makes it seem like that's the normal thing too.
Right. So if you're feeling something, you know, it's a good thing.
Right, exactly. Like, don't try to suppress it.
Right, right, right. So both of you guys would agree that, you know, being defense attorneys does have a tax on your mental health.
Yes, I
agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Going through cases like that and having to read and go through. I mean, just not even those cases, just any cases. Period. That would definitely take a tax on me.
So, how do you guys recharge?
Sheesh, man, it's I do. I mean, I'm still trying to find that perfect relief, because in addition to, you know, being a defense attorney, I also teach at the law school. So it's kind of like when I finish here, I run over here and do that. So really, I sleep a lot. I get on my PlayStation. I play Call of Duty. And so I do that. I get on Zoom with my friends, or, you know, just link up with people. And that's pretty much how I kind of relax.
Yeah. As far as that, I also get on my PlayStation. Like, I try to make it so that I don't have to work on the weekends. I did have to work this weekend, but generally I try to make it so that my weekends are my weekends, and that's my time to enjoy myself. And also just setting a cutoff time at night. Like, generally for me, it's around 8, 9 o'clock. Like, I'm still calling people or things like that, I'll try to stop around that time and literally just try to use that time to diffuse before you're going to sleep and getting into the next day. Because I know that there are a lot of, at least people in my office, that it's easy to take a lot of your clients.
Yeah, I think he's having connection issues again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. It's and I think I just want to add on. Oh, go ahead, Dio. What
you talking about? No, I was. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You had cut off for a second, so we weren't sure what had happened.
Oh, my fault.
Can you say what you said again?
Yeah, just it's very easy for defense attorneys, especially in my office, to internalize every issue mm-hmm. that a client has. Like, you're here to defend them on a crime, but then you're also thinking about, well, if they have to take this conviction, then they might lose their driver's license. And if they lose their driver's license, they lose their job. And it's very easily to feel like the weight of their life is on your shoulders. So it's definitely important to try to separate yourself to a degree and find the things you can do to diffuse.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, let me also say this too, because, you know, it's not just the case itself when you're reading the case that's taxing on you. What Dio said at the end, if that person gets that conviction, there's so many things that could happen. But also just being in the courtroom when the jury comes back and say that your client is guilty, and then they are taking off right then and there after you spend so long working with them, and you got to know them and their family, right. And now that person is in handcuffs, especially since COVID, the family couldn't come into the courtroom. So I had one guy who was sentenced to 7 years, and his mother, he was a young boy in his early 20s. His mother was outside, and after he was taken off, went to the back. I went in the back with him, tried to talk to him. He started crying. I prayed over him and all of that. But then I had to take all of his stuff and then go into the hallway and say, ma'am, you won't see your son today. You probably won't see him for the next, 4 or 5 years. But this is how you can visit him, and due to COVID, you can't go in there. And so that's something that's also taxing on me, man.
Yeah, that's tough.
And those convictions come back, yeah.
That is tough, for sure. Especially because you have to be the one, to convey that message and everything. And
yeah.
I know the hurt in her eyes was heavy.
Yes. Man, that's tough.
Kudos to y'all, man, because that's tough. I mean, we watch these TV shows and these movies and everything. But, for y'all to be out there doing it, man, y'all – yeah, I commend y'all. Cause any of y'all watch For Life, the TV series?
Hey, that's one of my favorite shows, bro.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I like it because it's like real. It tries to represent life as best as possible. But you guys are actually living that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily his story, but being defense attorneys and having to go through, everything you guys have to go through. It's definitely an interesting job, and I can see how it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you gotta be prepared for this, man.
Yeah,
but it's rewarding as well, because that you're helping people.
Oh, for
you're
sure.
Representing people, and so that's why I love doing what I do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, because you do have those triumphant moments as well.
Yep.
For sure. Yep. For sure, I dig it. So before a case, I should say, before y'all head over to the courtroom, what's some music y'all like to get into? What gets y'all going, to get your defense juices flowing?
Man, see, it depends on what I got going on that day. So if I got a hearing or something I know I'm about to go in there and smash, like I'm putting on all ratchetivity. I mean, I'm playing Nuck If You Buck. I'm playing Down For My Ends. I'm playing everything, bro. I'm playing Cardi B. I'm playing whatever.
Yeah.
And then, when I pull up there. Now, if I'm at a small county that's predominantly white, I won't do that. I'm going to keep the music kind of low. But if I'm pulling up to, like, Harris County, Gavis County, oh, they going to hear me coming in.
Yeah.
If it's a case, it's about to be hard. I'm gonna play some gospel music. Because I need the Lord. I need to challenge the Lord, because I know it's gonna be a tough fight going in. But yeah, man, I it's either gospel or straight hood.
it's either one end of the spectrum or the other, huh?
Exactly.
You gotta listen to Moray album then, because he got the ghetto gospel on there.
Hey, for sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely gotta check that one out, man. That's That's lit, man. His album's trending top 10 right now, too.
That's insane.
Man. Yeah, crazy. Dio, what about you, man?
No, that's facts, though. It just depends. If I have a few trials that day and I just need to get hyped up, I'm throwing, like, my top rated on shuffle. And we're just going in. Whatever comes, comes. But if it's, like, a day where, you know, maybe it's, like, a Thursday towards the end of the week, I'm kind of, like, on chill vibes. Might just throw on, like, I don't know, some Logic or something like that. Just something chill, mellow that you can just vibe to and get you in a good headspace. Because one thing that I try to do with my music heading to court, I try not to think about the cases on my way and just, like, enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. That makes total sense, man. I'm like that anywhere I go. I don't really want to think about the destination. I'd rather just get in the car, vibe. Playlist heavy on the Drake. Y'all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you don't like getting on the show, man. We know.
Man, you know it, dog. You know I gotta represent, man. We be taking L's, but, you know, I catch a couple dubs.
Drake, cool.
Lately, I've been, I don't know if y'all hip to Pink Money or Pink Sweat is his name.
Pink Sweat? Yeah, I've seen him a lot.
The song is Pink Money, man. That is my jam right now. I'd be like, I get up in the morning, I play that song, and I'm ready to go. I don't care what I got to do, man. I'm up and at it. Y'all got to check that one out. And then the hometown, man, my hometown homie, man, Quinn Audio, Motivation. Yo, check that one out. It's on Apple. You know what I mean? You can find it on Apple Music as well. My man in there, he spit some bars, and his flow is incredible, man. I've been a fan of my man since forever. So y'all definitely got to go check that one out.
Gotcha.
Before we wrap it up, man, is there anything y'all want to share? Anybody y'all want to shout out?
Man, I want to shout out to – well, first, thank you guys for having us.
Oh, no. Thank y'all for joining, man. This was an amazing episode, for real.
Man, and I want to give a shout out to my mentors who have helped me. There's a – top criminal defense attorney in Harris County. His name is Alvin Nunnery. Alvin Nunnery put me on. He took me under his wing when I was still in law school, gave me an office space once I passed the bar, and I've been working cases with him. And, you know, I've been on the news with this dude, man. He has really walked me through. And also another attorney that shares the same suite with him, Loretta Muldrow. Both of those attorneys I can call whenever I need help. And they really have put me on. So I just really want to give a huge shout out to them. And of course, my mama. Shout out to my mama. She's going to hear
this. Hey, mama.
Right. Got to shout out to mama. That's what's up, man. It's always lovely to hear you. I mean, those mentors that, you know what I mean, bring people up and then to hear you doing the same thing, giving back in law school, man. You know, it's how the universe works. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, sir. I'm going to shout out my family, of course. Shout out to my mentors. Shout out to especially like during my law school phase, man, because law school is that type of thing hits different, man. Like the sacrifices that are needed to be made and the people who hold you down in the trenches of law school, man, you'll remember them for the rest of your life. So thank you to all of them. Shout out to my department, District 8, and appreciate you guys, the Positivity Spartans, for having us on there.
No doubt, man. Like I said, we appreciate y'all. Y'all definitely brought some great energy. I mean, the conversation was dope, deep, man. Y'all, I'm rooting for y'all, man. You know what I mean, because y'all doing the right things out here. I mean, Marcus, man, you in Texas. If I need you, man, I'm definitely hitting you up on the website.
Bro, I got you, man. Go ahead, man. Save that to your favorite bar. I'm there.
Hey, man, we need pro bono, Marcus. We need pro bono, man.
Hold on, man. If I'm interested, I got you on the payment. But you already know if I got. I ain't working, dog.
There you go. Man. Nah, man. And if y'all run into anybody who wants to become an attorney who's black, please send them our way, man.
Drop your social media.
Kicking my ass, man.
Man, you just gotta tough it out, bro. I get it. It definitely sucks, but that's just the tip of the iceberg.
The process. You gotta trust the process, dog. I don't think we dropped y'all social media handle so people can find y'all if to reach out to y'all.
Oh yeah, man. So y'all can follow me on Instagram at Attorney Marcus Ester. Last name Esther. So that's again Attorney Marcus Ester. And then also my website, www.esteratlaw.com. Esther DioLaw.com.
Yes, sir. Instagram is DIO period Chills, CHILLS. Anything else? I'm pretty sure it's just my normal name, Deontay Salvi, DIONTE, last name SALVI.
Perfect, perfect. Well, again, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining the Positivity Spartans. I appreciated the conversation. I know everybody else will. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, positivity, prosperity, peace.